Studio 360.
Until cable came along, late night TV was all about old Hollywood movies.
Night, kids.
Between the end of the Johnny Carson show and the national anthem sign-off, we used to gorge on a smorgasbord of B-movies and studio classics. The photographer Cindy Sherman had the same experience as a kid in the 1970s. In an introduction to a book of her work, she wrote about going to a dinner party with her parents and watching Hitchcock's Rear Window alone in the basement. For most of us, those kinds of sleepy glimpses of the cinematic past just sank into oblivion. But not for Cindy Sherman. About 30 years ago, she turned all those movie memories into a series of self-portraits that have a weirdly haunting power. They're now some of the most famous art photographs ever, endlessly referenced in pop culture. The actor-slash-artist James Franco has made his own homage-slash-recreations of the pictures. Anne Hepperman looked into why untitled film stills became such a big deal that endure.
Cindy Sherman's untitled film stills just feel familiar. Like untitled film still number 21.
People often call it the city girl.
Which I'm looking at right now with Museum of Modern Art curator Eva Ruspini.
No, here it is, yeah.
It's a black and white 8x10 photo, and in it, you see a young woman surrounded by big city office towers.
There's no question that she's in Manhattan. Here she is.
And she's dressed like a 1950s, fresh-off-the-bus career girl from Kansas.
She's got her, you know, hat and her little suit on, and she's, you know, trying to get a job.
The picture's shot from below, with Sherman's face front and center. But what you really notice are her eyes.
Her expression seems kind of fearful, maybe a little bit lonely.
They're looking at something or someone just outside the frame.
But this, to me, implies that someone's maybe watching her. You just know at the end of the film that she's going to die, that there's something foreboding. There's this Hitchcockian, you know, violence that's kind of lurking underneath. That's definitely the film, you know, taking over.
Cindy Sherman has somehow created an entire movie around what looks like one frame of film. 70 different images make up the untitled film stills. And they're meant to look cheap, like photos you'd find in a thrift store. Sherman changes her hair and her outfits to act out a whole range of 1950s and 60s B-movie and art house cliches, like the career girl.
I think this application is filled out all right, Mr. Arnold.
Thank you.
The bombshell.
I have to live as if every day were my last one. Something powerful in me that makes me behave foolishly.
And the housewife.
Like so many people these days, we live in the suburbs.
Cindy Sherman started making the untitled film stills in 1977. At first, she'd dress up, rearrange the furniture, and shoot photos of herself. This was in the Soho loft that she shared with her then-boyfriend and fellow artist, Robert Longo.
And then she had this idea about wanting to go out.
She'd stuff a suitcase with clothes and wigs and throw them in the back of their van.
It was like a hippie van. And we'd drive to locations and she would change in the back and then come out of the van a different character. It would always be quite hideous sometimes. She looked pretty weird sometimes.
When she worked outside, Sherman often had family or friends snap the pictures. Helene Weiner owned the Artist Space Gallery where Cindy Sherman worked. She shot untitled film still number 83. Sherman told Weiner, "Stand over there and take some pictures as I walk down the street."
I thought, oh, these are going to be the worst ones, the most terrible ones, because she's not doing anything.
What came out, though, looks like a shot from some European movie.
You know, a Italian movie star fleeing from the press or not wanting to be recognized.
Sherman's wearing a black wig and sunglasses cover her face, and she seems to be rushing across the square. Her expressions are subtle, but evocative. Unlike real film stills, Sherman did not go for the over-the-top look. MoMA's Eva Ruspini.
They would actually fail completely as actual publicity stills in that they don't show the climax of the movie or the most, you know, important scene, or they don't convey the the narrative and the way that publicity stills were set up to do, and that blankness is a kind of stand-in for whatever you as the viewer want to believe about that character.
The woman's, like, cheating husband has driven a car off the pier that she had rigged.
Oh, I loved those. It looked so like Berlin in some spy novel.
The moment where I picture her shifting from feeling sorry for herself to, you know what, I am going to get out of here now.
Sherman brought some of the untitled film stills into the Artist Space Gallery, where she worked as a part-time receptionist.
We went crazy over them. I mean, I'm sure if the janitor was standing there, he would have known that this was something very, very special.
The untitled film stills didn't linger as some wallflower art project. Everyone loved them.
Collectors had never bought a photograph and would not buy it. Cindy was the only one people would actually purchase to own.
Critics loved the series, too. As one person put it, it seemed like you'd come upon the film stills in books, anthologies, and magazines more often than in a gallery or a museum.
Cindy Sherman, Untitled Film Stills, is known to every single art student.
That's Zoe Crosher. She's a contemporary artist in Los Angeles. I found her after Googling, Untitled Film Stills Changed My Life.
It's slightly disconcerting because I said that in some offhand remark during some talk that I gave somewhere. But it did change my life.
Crosher remembers exactly how that influence worked on her. She was 19 and in college when she first saw the untitled film stills. She'd been struggling to find an artist who inspired her, especially a woman. There were women photographers, yes, but all their work was documentary. Grab a camera, go out into the world, and capture all the freaks that you can see. Then she saw the untitled film stills.
Suddenly here comes this complicated situation where I'm looking at something that's constructed, but it doesn't look like it's constructed. And this woman who's chameleon-like and changing the way that she presents herself. And she's also in control of the taking of all of these photographs and this notion of agency that she, it sounds like she probably didn't even intend to have, which is the interesting, one of the interesting things about her and the history of her work is that she's mute about everything she does.
And that's part of the mystery of Cindy Sherman. Even though she puts herself center stage in the images, she's extremely private. The artist was gracious about it, but eventually declined to talk for the story. And for a lot of people, Sherman's silence just adds to the layers of ambiguity in the untitled film stills.
Would I like to have a conversation with her? Of course, but that's not important. Understanding her intent with this, like, that's completely not important. What's important is what I've decided is important about it to me.
Jim Adkins is the lead singer of Jimmy Eat World. And a few years ago, he started using the untitled film stills as a writing exercise. And then it turned into an album, Invented.
I can't compete with the clear eyes of strangers.
Adkins says his backstories for the untitled film stills got quite elaborate. Like Untitled Film Still number 36. That turned into a song called Evidence.
Follow you around till it's time to leave.
In the photo, Sherman is just a silhouette of a woman. She's changing clothes, it looks like lingerie, and there's a cloth hanging right behind her.
Maybe she moved into a place with a boyfriend and they got like a super awesome deal on a really small place in New York. You know, they break up, but neither of them really want to move out because they have such an awesome deal on this rent-controlled space. Just to get some sort of privacy, she just staples this bedsheet to the ceiling in between their space. And the dude, you know, has no choice but to kind of, you know, stew in this tension.
I think what's brilliant about the untitled film stills and about Cindy's work in general is you don't need a PhD in order to get them. And I think the work is smart, perceptive, elegant, provocative, but accessible. And accessibility here is not a bad word.
And because they're so accessible, so easy to grab onto, the untitled film still stories become our narratives. It's like there's some kind of art Rorschach test. The stories we tell about them reveal something about us. Even more so now, says Eva Ruspini, when so many of us are constructing stories with photographs.
You know, all of those things are about facades. The selfie's not about who you really are. It's about how you look best in the camera to your friends, creating this, you know, narrative of what you're doing and how great that seems.
I love you too.
Getting married.
Is that your sissy?
Yeah.
And that's what the work is about. It's really about manufactured identities.
And who knows how we'll be feeling in 30 plus years about our own selfies. Truthfully, I'm a little sick of these pictures. Cindy Sherman wrote in 1997, when MoMA displayed the untitled film stills together for the first time, "It's funny to see some of them now. Funny, because while people have been generating mental movies from the untitled film stills, Sherman looks at them and sees this. Herself on a certain day, decades ago, dressed a certain way, acting out a certain scenario. She isn't the person in the untitled film stills anymore. That person is us."
Anne Hepperman produced that American Icon story for us in 2013. Eva Raspini is now the Barbara Lee Chief Curator of the Institute of Contemporary Art in Boston.